Welcome to That American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is a top supplier in the UK for all your American football needs, helping players and coaches reach their potential since 2007. Check them out at epsports.co.uk. We've got a really exciting episode lined up today. We've got another one of our Tafts Meet series. I've got Joe, Tim and Craig here with one of our special guests. It's Cadell King. Cadell's played at a really high level in a few countries, including Germany, Canada and Finland. He was invited to the CFL UK Combine and the NFL International Combine, which are both good rare honours for a linebacker from London. Currently over in Finland, he's just spent the 2020 season playing with the, pardon me for my pronunciation, Kuopio Steelers. Thanks for coming on. First of all, congratulations on winning the Maple Bowl.
Thank you, and thank you guys for having me.
Not a problem at all. Really looking forward to having you on here. So just to kind of get started there, do you have an NFL team at all, or do you not follow it too much?
I am a San Francisco 49ers fan.
Ah, okay, 49ers. Yeah. I just think they did last week.
That's a slow start, but I still have faith in my Niners.
And George Kittle's a monster.
Oh, he's a monster.
Think they can make it back to the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, for sure. When we have a healthy team, because we had Debo out, you know, had some other big names out, so I think once we get our whole team healthy again and we start clicking, I think a team in the NFL can stop us, really.
I think it's ridiculous. A lot of people are saying, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's it, he's shot. It's week one. And the guy got you to the Super Bowl last year. So, you know, let's not overreact, people.
Yeah, people just want to hate on him, you know. So we take it. They said we were pretenders last season and we got to Super Bowl. So
yeah, innit?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start from the beginning. How did you get into American football, and how did you get introduced to the sport, start playing the sport?
Yeah, so I started playing American football because my brother invited me down. He went to a Kent Exiles practice, and the next week he told me, hey, it's a cool sport, come try it out. So I went to the youth practice. He was in the juniors at the time, and there wasn't enough people at practice, so I was the only person on defense, and it was five-a-side. So it was five offensive players against me. I played nose tackle. And my very first snap in practice, I caught the fumble. So I was like, I'm pretty good at this, so I stuck with it.
Nice.
Did you kind of just think it's going to be defense for me the whole time? Did you not consider playing any offense?
Actually, I did like research on the sport before I went to the practice, and funny enough, this is why I became a Niners fan, because the two players I wanted to be like was Vernon Davis, either tight end or a linebacker like Patrick Willis, who were both from 49ers at the time. So it was either playing tight end or playing linebacker for me. And I didn't have contacts at the time, so I couldn't see the ball properly, so I couldn't catch. So they stuck me on defense.
Should have used that excuse when I couldn't catch when I played receiver.
Yeah, I could have been a safety if, you know, I had good eyesight.
And where did you play when you started off? You said you mentioned the youth team.
Yeah, so I played as a youth team. I played linebacker, D line, and running back.
So you were basically the whole team.
Yeah, they didn't let me play quarterback. That's the one position that I've never played before that I wanted to play. And I played wide receiver as well for a couple of snaps. So just call me an athlete.
So after playing in Britain, it's quite an unusual path you took. You went to, I've got to say, the college team had the greatest nickname of any team I've ever said. Yeah. That's awesome, man. So how did you manage to attract the attention of the Canadian university?
So I went, played for FBU Team Europe. I don't think they run anymore, but they had like 2 years where the head coach was Cecil Martin. He used to be on Sky Sports NFL. Mm-hmm. So they had like a Team Europe. So we went over to Texas, played in the Alamo Dome against Team Mexico, Team Canada. So when I was playing against Team Canada, some scouts from Canada were watching, because I think they had prospects on the team. And a lot of teams in Canada liked what they saw for me, and they contacted me. My first choice was obviously to go to a D1. But when that didn't happen, instead of going the JUCO route, like a couple of my friends did, I chose to start my life and start my university and go to Canada. And St. Francis Xavier, they offered me a full scholarship, which was rare, which is rare for a Canadian player. So when I got my full scholarship offer, I just randomly then took it.
So was it, how do you find the transition? Obviously, Canadian football's the three down football, not four downs. Is that the same in the University of Canada, I take it?
Yeah, it is. It's not like a crazy transition. Obviously, the field's a lot wider.
Yeah.
55 yards wide and then 110 yards long. The ball's a bit bigger. The 1 yard rule for blitzes, the motioning receivers and the extra player on offense and defense. But you honestly, when you're playing at full speed, when you know what to do, like you don't really notice the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I came back to playing the GFL, which is American rules, I didn't really notice a big difference. It was just the ball gets snapped, do your job and run to the football.
Yeah.
And so obviously going from Canada's a more of an unusual route than a lot of people do take, do you think that that's offered you any kind of unique points of view or perspectives or training kind of opportunities that way?
Yeah, I think it really helped me. I appreciate the game a lot more. Because obviously, you know, coming from Canada, it's not a big sport as it is in the States. So from when I was coming up in the college ranks, I appreciated it more, and it was more so a love for the game. I know a lot of my friends who went to D1s, went to JUCOs, they said that they felt as if it was more so a job rather than they were playing for the love of the game. But playing in Canada was so fun. I enjoyed every minute of it. So it allowed me to appreciate the game more. Allowed me to, when I came back to American Rules, I was running around the field a lot faster because, you know, it's a wider field. So I'm expecting to get to the sideline slower, but because it's a short field, I'm getting there quicker, you know. So it did offer some advantages. Again, like in European football, one thing that isn't as predominant in Canada is Canada's a passing league, right? Where the European football is more so run dominant. So I got to experience playing in a league that's pass dominant and improving my pass coverage skills. My first year at university, I played halfback, which is the equivalent to a strong safety. So it gave me like a different perspective for the game. And yeah, I think that I learned some things that I wouldn't be able to have learned if I had went to the traditional route or had stayed in Europe.
Do you ever get a play in the snow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible.
I was going to say, what was the weather like? Because that must have been like such a shock.
Yeah, so my first year in Canada, because I had a prep school called Canada Prep in Ontario. Everyone telling me it's about to have a snowstorm, it's about to be crazy. I'm thinking I'm going to go outside, do snow angels, you know, throw snowballs. So the snowstorm was overnight. I opened the door, and when I opened the door, nowhere but lie, the snow was up to my chest. Like, I couldn't see, like, I had to tiptoe to see over the snow. And then everyone acts like it's a normal thing. I'm like, this is crazy. So, like, that's my first experience of, like, a real snowstorm, and it was crazy. And then playing in the snow is not fun whatsoever. Like, we got to the semifinals, national semifinals, and we played Calgary. Calgary is the coldest city in Canada, right? We stepped off the bus to go play the game, and I remember taking a deep breath in, and, like, I'm finally here, and my lungs felt cold. So my lungs felt cold. We all went out. We were, like, all in long sleeves, you know, pocket warmers, hand warmers. And the other team were, like, no long sleeves, like, short shorts. They were ready for it. We weren't. And I just remember, like, finishing the game. We lost the game. But I was more, like, worried about my fingers. I couldn't feel my fingers or my toes. Like, it was crazy. But it was fun during the game. But, like, after the game was the worst experience after the game I've ever had in my life. Because you're on the bus for, like, 4 hours to the 4 or 3 hours, and like you can't feel your fingers. Like you can't type on the phone properly because your fingers are going slow motion. But yeah, it was a crazy experience in the snow.
And then so you played in Canada, and then next for you was going to Germany. So you played for, was it Potsdam Royals and Frankfurt Galaxy? So how
Frankfurt
was that?
Universe.
Oh, it was Frankfurt. Sorry, Frankfurt Universe. Yeah. My apologies. And so what was that like? Was that another big change for you? Complete change sort of like the way they played the game? Or was it, could you transfer a lot of skills over there?
Yeah, I went straight to Potsdam. So the first thing for me was the game was slower. So come from college, obviously the game was going to be faster because you rep out every single day. You do your drops like 100 times a week. Whereas in Europe, they don't have that time to train. So it's going to be a step back. It was more physical, but a step back in the speed. So transitioning from U Sports, which is Canadian college, to the GFL1 wasn't that big of a step for me. It was just more so of a step that, okay, I'm 215, 220. I can't be a linebacker right now. Whereas in Canada, you can play a linebacker like 220, right? So the biggest thing for me that season was to put on like good weight. So I went from like 215, 220 to 225, 230. But other than that, it wasn't a big transition because I started off playing American football. So just like going back to basics for me, which was good. So.
And so when you're playing, obviously in Germany, and I can only really base this off playing in England, you're the typical people that are playing that are guys who have started when they're like 16 or 17, kind of maybe a bit later. Did you feel that you did have quite a bit kind of more knowledge and just everything more than a lot of people there, or was it not that much evident?
In GFL?
In Germany, yeah.
Yes and no. So you go to a team like Potsdam. So in Potsdam, American football isn't like a big thing because it's a small city, just outside of Berlin. So people are starting late. But you go to a team like Frankfurt Universe. So Frankfurt Universe took over Frankfurt Galaxy. They're the only NFL Europe team that still exists. Just change the name. So you have kids. You have players who played since they were 12, and they're like 27 now.
Oh wow.
So yeah, one of the linebacker I played with, Sebastian Gomez, he was playing longer than I played. He's a border. He played longer than I played. So it really depends on where you're going to play. One thing that does stand out, though, is the level of competition they play against. So up in Kuopio, again, there are players who played longer than I did, but they didn't have the right coaching or didn't play a good enough level of competition to allow them to improve as much as they should have. So when I came in, it was like, okay, I'm used to playing. I play players in the CFL right now. I play players in the NFL right now. So I'm used to having a higher level of competition, so I was able to come in and contribute straight away. Whereas some of these guys, you have to help coach them up and take them back to basics, really.
Okay, and then so you move from there, obviously, pandemic hit, kind of shut everything down across the world. And then, obviously, Finland's opened up their football season, asked you to come and play with them. What was it like kind of making that decision and playing in lockdown, I guess?
For me, because my situation was easy for me. I knew from the get-go I wanted to play football. I was waiting for the GFL. I signed back with Frankfurt Universe, and I was waiting for the CFL draft, sorry. So I was ready to play football. I was practicing every day, running every day, doing body weights every day. So I was ready. Coach Peck up in Kuopio, as soon as I heard the season was going on, I sent him a message and I signed within a week of me flying in. So I signed 1 week and flew in the next week. So I was ready to get out and play football.
Okay, so when it kind of looking at next year, then are you obviously, if you haven't got an idea, don't say you have got one, but is it you hoping to go back to like Frankfurt? Are you hoping to stay in Finland or anything like that?
At the moment, it's open because I fly out to Poland tomorrow morning because I'm playing in the Polish season now. So It's too early for me to say. I do know that, you know, we're patient seeing what the CFL are doing. If the CFL doesn't go through, Frankfurt want me back. Kuopio would be a nice spot too, but it's too early, you know. I want to experience as much as I can in Europe, because playing football, you have a short window of your life, right? So I want to experience it to the fullest and see what I can do with it. So if the opportunity does arise and it's a good opportunity and perfect opportunity, I will go back to Kuopio, Frankfurt, even Potsdam. But if another opportunity arises, maybe Italy, Austria, I would probably take that as well. So, yeah.
And so, obviously, I've just had the Maple Bowl there for the finals game in Finland. Saw you won that. How was the game? How was the entire season?
The game was nice. I enjoyed the game. It was rainy, very rainy. So, like, the grass field was slippery. We won 21-0, so defense had a stellar game. Offense controlled the game too, so that was going into that game. We had beat the team already 70-6, so it was really our game to lose. We just had to make sure we did our jobs, not be selfish. That season in Finland, I love Finland. Finland's a great place. The lakes are beautiful. The cities are beautiful. The people are very warm and open. But competitively, that season, I think was the best, because I think some teams were more prepared in it than other for the season than other teams. So I don't want to comment on Finland too much, because I want to experience it with a full season rather than a 5-game season, which is half the season. So, but I still enjoyed this season. Great, met some great guys, played with some great players, and we still won the trophy, which was
great.
Yeah.
So I know I'm going back to weather. I'm just British, so I like to talk about it. Because I played offense. I know Craig played defense, so he might be able to chip in here. But I hated playing in the rain just because it's so hard to even touch the ball and keep it in.
Yeah.
Do you kind of like it a bit more just because you've got the opportunity to get the ball out of them?
No. See, it's football, so I still love it. And even though it's very wet, you know, it offers advantages for the defense. But at the same time, we have the same struggles as you guys. So you guys can't cut properly. We can't break out as hard as we're used to. You know, we can't. There's sometimes you want to play more aggressive, but we know we may lose our footing. So I enjoy playing in like the snow and the rain, but I prefer when it's like a nice day out, dry, and, you know, everyone can like explode and do as much as they can without worrying about slipping or anything.
Yeah, playing D-line in the rain, like it was good fun, but you'd find that quite quickly you'd chain the ground up beneath you quite quickly, and then literally like by the end of the first quarter you're just in a mud pit, and it's quite difficult to get your foot in and get that drive out your stance when you need it. Like,
yeah, like I watched the game back the next day, and I was seeing everyone slipping. I saw our running back, he can cut on the dime. He was taking like 4 or 5 steps to take one cut.
Yeah.
You see DBs trying to break out of their stance to go on the hitch, and they're slipping face mask straight to the floor. So, you know, it offers both the advantages. You know, we just capitalized on it when we had to.
Yeah, we used to play a team in uni that were literally called the Mud Dogs, just because their field was just a pure sheet of mud.
Oh, yeah. We had a team like that in Finland, Sanjoki Crocodiles. Their field was terrible. Like, I don't think they lost a home game in like 2 years or something, because they're the only people that can. Yeah, terrible. Like, everyone's sleeping on the field. So, like, we had like a high scoring offense. They held our offense to 7 points because no one in the offense could do a thing.
Yeah.
Like, all they did was power the ball on their offense, and just like, I don't know, but that field was terrible.
So obviously you've played at all these different countries and all these different levels. What, it might be a bit of a hard question to answer, I guess, but schematically and from a coaching point of view and a player's point of view, like, what was the main differences you noticed as you travel from like league to league, if any?
I feel like every league I played in, so in the UK, Canada, Germany, Finland, even when I play Swedish teams, Italian teams, every single country takes on the attributes of their citizens, if that makes sense. So in Germany is a very like hard-nosed, disciplined society. And when they play, it's very like hard-nosed and disciplined. Everyone knows to do their job. You rarely find someone in the top teams. You rarely find people trying to be a superstar. The DN will hold contain. The nose tackle will take on the double team. You know, the safeties won't come down until the ball's past line of scrimmage. You know, everyone's very disciplined. In Canada, it's like similar to the States, but not as trash talking or as like spectacular as the States. So it'll be a similar style to the States, but you can tell it's not the States, right? In Finland, everyone's more reserved and like they follow what they're told to do. So even if they don't want to run the dive, the running back's running the dive, you know, everyone just, they follow what they're meant to do, if that makes sense. And I feel like it's all attributed to the country they're in. I haven't played in the UK for a while, but when I did play in the UK, it was very grimy compared to other countries, like very grimy. You have like, when I used to watch the Brit Ball, I used to see like all the guys come in and just smash talk, you know. They're putting their helmet into your chest. They're trying to like hurt you, basically. And like that's like, I don't want to say that's like the UK culture, but it's very gritty. And you can tell by watching the game, that's Baffa. You know, you can tell by watching the German game, okay, that's a German team. A Finnish game, Finnish team. And like every country had their own unique style of play, and it's attributed to like their culture for me.
I think that's helped you as a character. Obviously, you mentioned the Germans are disciplined. Canada's kind of got that more towards the American style. Has that attributed to like how good of you are as a player now?
Yeah, I think it has, because I try to, everywhere I go, I try to take the best out of the country that I'm in. So like in Canada was when I really improved as a player, because I was, again, the closest thing is to the state. So there's Canadian bowlers who can go out to the States and kill it. And there have been Canadian bowlers who've killed in the States. So I just tried to take the best of every country that I'm at and just run with it. In Germany, when I went to Germany, I was 215. And they're more of a physical style of play. I had to learn to add weight, get more physical, but still keep my technique, right? Which is something that really helped me throughout my career, because if I couldn't have still played linebacker at 215. Right now I'm 235 and I'm still have the same technique as I did in Canada. I still drop the same way. I still have the same playing style as I did in Canada. So as long as I keep taking the best of every league I play in, I think I keep improving. So
I think that's it as well. The linebacker position has changed completely now. When you look at a player like Isaiah Simmons at the Cardinals, who's not really a linebacker, not really a cornerback or a safety, he's basically a defensive player. And it's not like the old days when I started watching with linebackers. We're just basically D linemen on 2 feet.
Basically, yeah.
You've got to be more mobile now as a linebacker.
Yeah. So it's being mobile and still having the physicality to take on a block, right? So from when I started playing football, I knew I wanted to be that type of linebacker. So I knew I wanted to be like a Patrick Willis type-esque linebacker, who may not have been the biggest linebacker, but he can move, he can run downhill, take him a block, and he can also cover tight ends and running backs. So, you know, just keep improving and take the best of every situation you're in.
You obviously mentioned a bit about the draft and the combine and things. So we'll go through all of them, but first, what was the CFL UK Global Combine like? What was the experience?
It was actually a cool experience. So when I was in Canada, my main goal was to get to CFL. But during my time in Canada, there was a Godfather rule. So the Godfather rule is basically you cannot get drafted to CFL unless you're born there or your parents are born there. So before I found out about this rule, I used to go to like CFL camp, combines, the 3 years I was there, and watch like the prospects perform. So when they did it in the UK and I was invited, it was really like a surreal moment. Like, okay, now I'm with the people I need to watch, right? It was really good too because I had been detached from UK football for such a long time. I didn't really know all of the players that were there. So it was really like a breath of fresh air. Like, okay, I'm not the only one that's trying to go pro. I'm the only one that's in this fight. I saw some great ballers, some great athletes. You guys know Glenn, David, Montel, Kojo. So I saw some great athletes who I played against too. So it was a great, great moment for me in my career. And competing against them, competing with them, it was a surreal moment. I enjoyed it a lot.
So has the Canadian draft just been postponed then with COVID?
Yeah, so they were meant to have it. Funny enough, they were meant to have the draft the month that the lockdown started taking place. So they were meant to have it in March, late March, but everything became as like a lockdown early March. And they've just been like postponing it. They were having discussions about starting the season in August and September, but because of like a, I think some government loan they couldn't get, they weren't able to go forward with that. So they kept postponing it. And right now, they say they're still dedicated to the CFL 2.0 and the global draft, but they still have to do some planning in order to get it to be successful.
Okay, and then, so there was also the NFL International Combine. What was that like, and how would you compare the two between each other?
So the CFL Combine was more broad, broad in the sense of you'd have athletes who are really good and athletes who are like on the borderline, right? Not taking anything away from them. They deserve to be where they were. But in the CFL, in the NFL Combine, it was, I believe it was like 50 athletes. The 50 athletes who were the best athletes under the age of 25, right, in Europe. So you had kids from Belgium, Germany, UK, Finland, Switzerland, Italy, Mexico, Brazil. They had like two kids from Japan. Wow. So not just Europe, it's the world, right? So it was more so like you're seeing the best athletes, guys you played against, and you're like, okay, he's a baller, turn up to the combine, right? They had names that you knew. You didn't know them personally, you played against them, but you knew who they were. Like Sandro from Swarco Raiders.
Sandro, yeah. Right?
You were players who you had seen ball. So it was more so like, okay, this is it. That makes sense. This is the best that I would say the world at this moment has to offer for American football. These are the guys who in 3 or 4 years are going to be the face of European football, right? So I think for me, at least the NFL combine was more so of a, like, this is it. These are like the people I have to beat out, right? Whereas the CFL one, combine was more so, okay, you're here now, just do your job, just do what you have to do to get to the next stage, because again, the CFL combine, they had the regional combine, so I won't say regional, but they had the country combine, so they had one in Bristol, Paris, Italy, etc., and all of that was just to get selected for the national combine in Toronto. So that wasn't like, this is it. It was more so like, okay, let's get to the next stage.
So obviously we've spoken about the European leagues, Canadian leagues, all these combines. It's really cool because it's this perspective that we as fans, and obviously me and Craig a little bit as players, and generally our listeners who maybe haven't even had any insight into any of this. It's just nice to see this point of view from a player who started out at a fairly low level and has really worked their way up to kind of the top of the European leagues, breaking into Canada. Is the final ambition for you to go and play in the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah, the pro leagues has always been the goal. Since I was a Kent Exiles, the league, the goal was to either play in the CFL or NFL. my mum told me once, because I went to Bristol Academy, and before I went, she like said a little prayer for me. She says that, aim for the moon, and if you fall, you land in the stars. So like, I always took that as aim for the NFL. If I fall, I land in the CFL. So like, I've taken that throughout my whole journey, and my like mind has always been, I'm going to play pro. As long as I do the right things on and off the field, as long as I dedicate myself to getting better every practice, every game, as long as I dedicate myself to outworking whoever's on the field with me, it will happen. And the last 2 years of me being in Europe, I've seen like those goals actually like almost come to fruition. COVID may have like put a hold in it, but I do believe in like, the next couple of years, I'll be in the pro league.
That's awesome. So you mentioned obviously your mum providing you with that lovely little kind of mantra, I guess. Is there anyone in the pros that you kind of you look to as a role model, or anyone you really try and focus on imitating or anything?
Yeah, so there's two linebackers who are really influential for me. The first one is Quan Alexander, a linebacker for 49ers now. Funny story, when I started playing football, I started taking it more seriously, I Googled rivals linebackers, right? So high school linebacker at the time. And then I found a linebacker with my same height as me, same weight as me at the time. And then I was like, okay, cool. This corner is on the guy, the same height as me, same weight as me. You check his film. He plays similar. I'm gonna model my game off of him. So watching him like go from high school to LSU to Tampa to now 49ers has really been inspiring, because I've like seen his journey and I've tried to model myself off his style of play. The second linebacker is Henock Mwamba, who plays for Montreal Alouettes in the CFL. Me and him went to the same school, so he's an alma mater from St. Francis Xavier X-Men. I didn't know much about him or who he was before I went to St. FX, but when I went to St. FX, I chose to start looking at the CFL, and I found the best Canadian linebacker is Henock Mwamba. I was like, okay, cool. I don't know much about this guy, but I'm going to follow his steps. I found like him at the same effect, so I was like, okay, cool. I'm following his footsteps already. When we went to the semifinals my first year, so against Calgary, the coldest game of my life, he flew down and watched the game, right? And then it was crazy because I saw him on TV. Now I know who he is, but seeing him in real life was like a crazy moment. And then after the game, I remember he came up to me and he asked me my name, where I'm from. And he's like, we play a lot alike. And you're hearing this from like a CFL like star, right? So I was like, oh, it's just crazy. He's like, give me your number, I'll contact you. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll give him my number. I didn't think much of it. And I remember one day, like a month later, I came home from school. I got a message from him. Are you free for a call? And like, he called me, and like he was just giving me the greatest advice. He was telling me that he loves the way I play, that I'm a lot like him. And so from that moment, I started like watching him more. And like taking every bit of advice he gives me, because he still speaks to this day, take every advice he gives me. And when I watch him, try and muddle after his game. So take the best things he does, and the stuff he may not do as well, try and improve that for my game.
So out of everything you've done so far, you know, you've done a lot of traveling, you've played in a lot of different places and for a lot of different teams. What's your favourite, sort of your fondest footballer memory, thinking back? It could be a game, practice, in a locker room, just kicking it with your teammates. Like, what's your favourite football memory?
My favourite footballer memory, if I can call it a memory, is this season, actually. We played Vassal Royals, the last regular season game, and then we're winning the game, like we spanked them. It was a very one-sided game. But my favorite memory was at halftime, going in. And you shouldn't do this. I do not recommend this to any other football player. But I listened to music during halftime just to stay in the zone.
Okay.
But I got a message from my little cousin. So I usually don't read messages at halftime. I just try to stay in the zone. But it was a picture. It wasn't a message. So I'm like, okay, go probably send a picture of him watching the game. And I clicked the picture, and it was a picture of my grandpa watching my game, right? And that just like completely changed everything, because like my grandpa's my role model. Like I look up to him, I love him to death. Like, I'll die for him. And to see, and I've seen him struggle a couple of times, and to see him watching my game, because he's never watched one of my games before, and seeing him watching this game was like, we hadn't won the game, but I was like, I won already. Like, these guys could come back and like kick us, like destroy us, but I won because my grandpa's watching my game, you know? So that's like my favorite like football memory, like going back on the field, making a tackle, and like knowing my grandpa just saw me make a tackle, you know? So like, awesome. Yeah, that's my favorite football memory.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's good, yeah.
It just shows that football's family in it does always revolve around, and it's so important when you do see it.
Yeah, that was a crazy like moment, because one of the ones I never expected it. You know, I just, but from when I started playing football, I never really had like a lot of support. As in, my brother came to all my games. My brother watches all my games, but you know, other than my brother, like, I never had like that crazy support around. Me when I play, it's like, okay, I play the game, and then whilst everyone had their families saying hi to them after the game, I'm the kid that goes to locker room with my helmet, you know, the first one in the shower, the first one on the bus, you know, everyone else is around the family. So especially this season, like, my whole family supported. My family were watching from the States, from the UK, from Africa. So like, especially this season was crazy for me, because it's like, wow, like, you actually have like support around you. Whereas usually I'm the player who's like, I'm trash talking, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna beat you up because your mum's in the stands, you know, I'm gonna tackle you hard because like, you have support, you know. So like, this season was like crazy because I had that support around me. So yeah.
You get that trash talking from playing in England at all?
Oh, no, actually, no. When I left the UK, I could not trash talk at all. It was like, you're rubbish, you're trash. You know? When I went to Canada, that's, because when I was in prep school, I played in the States. So we played like the top ranked high school. So we played St. Edward's, who at the time were like number one ranked high school in the nation, right? So their whole offensive starters were D1 kids. So the QB went to FSU. One of the receivers went to Michigan State. And I remember playing that game, and these guys just trash talking the whole time. I'm like, people on my team were feeling bad. I was like, okay, so this is how you play the game, you know? This is how you play your game. You beat someone up and you tell them you beat them up. So when I went to Canada, it even got worse, because now I'm in university and like you're a freshman, and you're playing like seniors, fifth-year seniors too. And these guys just going in on you. Like, one guy told me, I've played DBs bigger than you. I remember like hearing that, and like it hurt me. Like, I was like, wait, 1 second. Like, hold on, this hurts. And like, it's just like, so yeah, I built it up from playing in Canada. Like, these guys just, they beat you up and they tell you, okay, I beat you up. But like in Europe, you have to tone it down a bit, because I don't think European guys are ready for like all of that trash talk.
I'm shocked. I always thought Canadians are really polite. I thought they'd like hit you, knock you out, and then go, sorry about that.
Yo, they are polite until, like, they have this like arrogance to them. Especially when they play, it's like, yeah, I'm better than you, I know it, you know? But I'm going to make sure you know I'm better than you too. So, like, they're nice people, I love them to death, but like, when they play with that arrogance, you know?
And so, I'm so terrible at trash talk. Is it an important part of the game? Like, do you like to get in their heads and beat them that way as well?
Oh, I love it. Because a lot of the times, it takes away from their game, so... Everyone thinks, okay, you trash talk, you're out of focus. No, I know what I'm doing. So I can trash talk to you, and I see my pay cut, I'm like, I know what I'm doing. Hit this gap. If it's a pass play, I hook to curl, run back swings out, I know what I'm doing. But when you get someone out of their game by trash talking, like, I remember one game played this season, I was trash talking to the cornerback. And the cornerback didn't look at me, but I can tell by like his hand gestures, he was hearing everything I said. I listened to my head coach, throw it to that guy. The next play, he ran. The very next play, he ran a fade to that cornerback, and that poor cornerback got burnt. Right, and the next play, we went for 2-point conversion. The cornerback swung a punch at the receiver. So, like, when you trash talk, you do it in a good. So, when you try, you have to be able to trash talk and still perform. Right?
Yeah, you can back it up.
Yeah, back it up. So, when you do that, you get in the other team's head like so much. And I love doing it because it takes them out of their game, and now it becomes a thing where they're trying to prove to you that they're better than you, but you're still in your game, you're still in your game mind, and you're still performing at a high level, and it just frustrates them until they eventually give up. Like so many times in the Maple League this year, teams just gave up by halftime. They're like, okay, you guys are kicking our ass, and they're trash talking, I won't play no more. So yeah, I love doing it.
Okay, so with all that wrapped up, who's winning the Super Bowl this year?
49ers.
49ers, yeah. 49ers. Who are they playing?
We are playing a rematch of the last Super Bowl. We're playing the Chiefs.
Ooh, okay, against the Chiefs again.
Yeah.
Craig's a Ravens fan, so he might have something to say about that.
I see like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes having like a crazy rivalry, but I don't think the Ravens are ready for the Chiefs this year. I give you guys, see
a repeat of that Super Bowl last time when we beat us in 2012.
Honestly, I think we'd have won the game if the blackout didn't happen. That's just why I think the blackout just took everyone out of their game.
That blackout was terrifying. Like that second half after coming back, we looked like we dominated in the first half, and then that second half after the blackout, like it was quite nerve-wracking.
If the blackout didn't happen, I think we would have actually won the game, because we were, before the blackout happened, we were like starting to pick our game up a bit. So, well, hey, you guys won that game, but I say 2020-2021 season, 49ers are going to be Super Bowl champions.
Okay, you heard it here first, guys.
why do we always have to have guests on who support good teams? Can't we get someone on who supports a rubbish team like I do?
Like the Ravens?
Let's get a Browns fan on or something, or a Bengals fan.
Oh, I almost became a Browns fan because of Tiggy. So, yeah, but I couldn't do it. I'm a Niners faithful. I think UK has the biggest talent pool in Europe, but we don't like harness our players, and we don't like encourage them to do better things. So like you go out to Finland and I'm seeing like the best under-19s, 17s player. And I'm like, I've seen better kids in the UK, but we don't want to invest in our coaching, and we don't want to like improve the sport. Like NFL UK sells out every like NFL game they have, but we can't get half of that crowd to a Baffa game. So, like, regardless of what I do in my career, I always want to, like, give back to, like, the UK football community and help, like, improve the game.
A good guy.
thank you. But, like, again, like, because I went out to the UK, to Canada, right? And I wasn't even, like, no one considered me to be even one of the best players. I remember people saying that I couldn't even play in Europe. So when I went to Canada and I was balling out in Canada, I was thinking about, like, imagine all my friends came to Canada too, you know? I knew some guys who went to prep schools and got offers from D1s, you know? So, like, imagine, like, all of the kids in the UK believed in themselves and actually, like, went out into the league to go out of the country to play football. Like, UK would be the best national team outside of America and Japan, you know?
Yeah, so, Japan is kind of crazy for American sports.
Yeah, those guys. I played against two Japanese players, and they were beasts. Like they were legit beasts. But that's
discipline thing down as well. They're hard workers, man.
Discipline and hard workers. Like it's more so for them. It's more so team success rather than self success. You know. But like, yeah, UK. We have ballers everywhere, but we just have to like improve the culture in the UK and help the generation coming up to believe in themselves more. So,
I think
with
the UK stuff, we were talking to Alistair Kirkwood last week, who's the managing director of NFL UK. The problem is they don't communicate the things that they've got, like the flag football and the academies and things like that. So there's all this stuff you tell us about that we'd never heard of. And you need to get that idea out there, and you need to get people playing the game and get it more organized, because within the British game, there's so much politics. There's so many abbreviations, like, AFRA and everyone else. They just need to, like, you're all in it for this love of the sport. Just forget all the arguments and sort of progress the players.
Yeah, like the politics in the sports in that I've seen in Bafra myself, and my like Bafra experience is like finite, right? But like what I've seen, there's so much politics, and until we like forget the politics and just say, hey, let's make sure even the kid comes from Cautious and Gladiators, if he's a baller, we'll take him in the GB team over a kid from London Blitz who doesn't play, right? Or, hey, we know that, let's say, Cadell, Glenn, David, Keanu, Kojo, Montel are like the best players in GB. Let's push them forward, right? I know like my friends in France, Anthony Mahangu, who went to Purdue, was at our NFL camp. They treat him like a superstar out there. Like he is on their version of the NFL Sky Sports commentating. Another friend I know, Tony, went to JUCO and NAIA football. They treat him like a superstar. In Germany, same thing. Their players get treated with like such respect, and everyone knows who they are, like a household name in the football community. So like there's kids who aspire to be like them. Whereas in the UK, especially when I was growing up, I didn't have anyone like that. The closest person was like now Grant Scott for London Warriors, right? But you don't have anyone to look up to, so it's more so like when you don't get your way, as in like D1 offers, there's no one you can look up to, like, oh, Cadell went this route. Orlando went to JUCO with my friends. He went this route. It's more so, oh, I didn't get my D1 offer, I'm just go play in university over in Birmingham. Right? So like they need people to look up to, and they need like a structure that isn't based around politics and it's based around actually getting you better as a player and making sure that sport and GB football isn't laughed upon. Because in Europe, like they laugh at GB football. Like Bafra football, like the teams I played on, they don't take Bafra football seriously because they know the politics and they know that the coaching and chain level isn't where it should be. So one thing that I always make sure I do is tell my coaches, I came from, like at the end of every season I have, I came from GB, right? If you like, because they say I play like an American. If you want another kid that plays like American like me, go look at GB, right? Because there's 1,000 kids in GB that are looking for opportunity to play at the next level. So, yeah, that's one of my goals, to help improve the culture. And
honestly, GB, mate, so. If you need any help in, like, pushing stuff, like, this is exactly what we're into. We want to grow the sport in the UK as much as
possible. Yeah.
That was why I got into coaching. But I'm like, I agree with Jay, you know, doing my level one coaching with Baffa, and I know a couple, like when we had Pete on, he said the same thing. Yeah. Like, we were surprised just how poor quality the course was. It was mainly just how not to get sued, and make sure people don't jump in head first. And that was pretty much the whole course. And we were like, I've learned more training and practice than I have done rocking up for this to get a proper qualification.
Funny enough, I got my level one qualification when I was like 16.
Jesus.
So that goes to show how easy it is like to become a coach in like Great Britain. I got it when I was 16, 17. I had to do it because I was coaching a Bristol league at the time that was going on. So like we had to improve like everything around the football, otherwise it's going to be the same thing in 10 years. Because I remember speaking to one of my PE coaches when I was in secondary school, and he told me that American football peaked in GB around like the 90s, 80s. So he's like a Dolphins fan. He loved Dan Marino, right? But then it went back down again, and that's come back up, and my biggest threat is it's going to go back down again like it did before.
Yeah.
So like once it's like now it's going on the up, and we see like people like Tiggy Stanko going to the Browns, Alec Jenkins going to New Orleans. We see the CFL come and taking some guys from the UK. We had to keep riding that way, making sure that it doesn't like go back down. Because they went down in Germany, that's why Germany is like the best league in Europe. And then go down to Austria, again, one of the best leagues in Europe.
Well, hopefully, we talked about this last week. Hopefully, the fact it's getting a bit more with Channel 5 coming on, more people are just going to be kind of a witness to it. So hopefully that does. But yeah, it just needs more attention around Britain now.
We need more people who want to push it to that next level. You know, I think in the Prem, in this country, you've got some teams that want to push it to that next level and that higher level. And then you've got some teams that feel very Sunday league and want to sort of just keep it Sunday league. And I think there's quite a division there, and you need We just need more people on board in terms of wanting to sort of drive it to that level.
For sure. And like, whatever I do, I'm going to make sure I help to push the UK football scene. Like, if a kid reached out to me, I always reply to them. I had like a kid from, I think, Cambridge Cats or something, messaged me like 2 weeks ago. And I had like a full-on conversation with him for hours. So like, whatever I can do, if I see any opportunities to help out the scene, I want to help out. I want to like start running camps in the UK as well, where like guys like me can come and give back to community. Because I know so many players who played at D1 schools or went to JUCO or played Team Europe, Team World, who want to give back, but because of all of the politics, they can't. One of my friends who he was with me in Team Europe, Team GB, he was an All-American 2 years in a row at JUCO, got a D1 offer to West Virginia, couldn't go because of UK politics again, like messed up his whole eligibility. He messaged me the other day because I was coaching at a camp in Denmark in August. He messaged me and said, how do I do it? Because I'm trying to give back to UK, but no one's letting me do it. He's in Bristol. He's like, no one's letting me give back to the UK. So there's people who want to give out and give back to the community, but they don't know how to. So yeah, I'll be masterminding a couple of ideas in the next year or two. And hopefully like in a year or two, God willing, I'm in the pros, but I'll also be back and trying to give back, you know.
Man, let us know if we can help, because I know we'd all love to bloody help you there.
Thank you so much.
If you're ever in Liverpool, give me a shout. You can come down and see the Fury or the Night Hawks or something.
So just to wrap this up with a few bit different questions. Let's just say, in a hypothetical, you are stranded on a desert island and you get to bring one of these things each to last a year. What is the one meal that you're bringing?
The one meal I'm bringing? Jello fries.
It's like Jello fries?
Jello fries. It's a West African dish.
What is it?
It's like rice with like tomato sauce, but it's like boiled into it.
Check it out.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I used to eat it a lot, and it looked amazing.
It is amazing. That dish can last me my whole life.
All right, you bring in one album on the island with you.
Yeah, this is gonna like this throws everyone off. But Party Next Door, the album is called Party Next Door 2.
Number 2, not number 1.
Yeah. Oh, you know, number 2.
Yeah, I like my PND. Yeah, no, I like my number 1 is my favorite.
Everyone says that, but like number 2 has classic.
Is that the one with wait, Come and See Me? Is that in 3
come
or 2?
Come and See Me. Yeah, in 2. So it had SLS, Grown Woman, Muse. It has so much classics, but everyone sleeps on it.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that one.
I'm so old right now.
And so on this island, you get to spend a year with any celebrity of your choice, dead or alive.
Any celebrity of my choice. Maya Jama. Maya Jama. She is top of my list.
You get to bring one television channel to watch one sports team of any sport.
Arsenal.
Fair enough.
I'm an Arsenal fan since I was born.
I want to say respectable, but I'm sure the other three disagree. I don't know much about football.
Really? Wow, I'm disappointed.
I don't mind Arsenal.
Who did you allow them?
I support West Ham. So I've got like no beef really. Like London, we play you Saturday night.
Oh, really?
Arsenal going to beat us like 4-0, so don't worry. Like,
I wasn't worried. Thank
you. And finally, you get to bring one drink of choice. You've got water on tap, so you don't need water.
Okay, perfect. Quick interlude. Finished water is the best water I've ever tasted in my life.
Really?
But I would take Ribena, strawberry.
Yes, that's the first person I said that. I so agree.
Yeah, the first person?
Yeah, I love Ribena, man. Craig's a Vimto guy.
Yeah, every time I fly back to UK, I go to M&S and buy cookies, like white chocolate cookies, and then I get like a strawberry Ribena. Those are my two go-tos. I keep like two, I keep like 3 pounds in my bag wherever I go, just so when I come back, I can afford to buy it.
Anyway, Cadell, mate, it's been really, really enjoyable speaking to you. And we've all learned a lot about everything. And it's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you in the short time we've had. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Have you got anything else you want to say to the guys listening?
Thank you guys for listening. Been a great podcast. Look out, because I'm trying to change the football culture. So you maybe hear some news from me in the near future. And just to support, and let's change the culture of football in the Europe, especially in the UK.
Absolutely. Do you want to give out your handles or anything and how they can find you?
Instagram and Twitter is @KG8_.
We'll get shared out, don't worry.
Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, keep an eye out.
Will do. Again, thanks from all of us so much. Do make sure you head over to our friends at EP Sports for all your NFL and equipment needs. Cadell, final time, thank you so much for joining us. And good luck in the future. We'll be watching you with stars in our eyes.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Yes.
Yeah, well done, mate.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.